Thanks for tuning in to the Sermon Podcast from Reformation Lutheran Church in downtown Las Vegas. Our readings this week come from the book of Jeremiah, chapter 36 and chapter 31. Thanks for listening. God bless you. Grace and peace to you from God, our Father in heaven, and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. As you might imagine, we have a lot of books in our house. Books in the front room, and books in the office, and books in the living room, and books in the bedroom, and books in the kids' room. There's books everywhere. Not just books on scripture, theology, and ministry, of course, those are mine, but books on childbirth, and parenting, anatomy, and healing, and massage, and cookbooks, and books on baking, and classic stories, and animals, and Minecraft, and superheroes, and shelves of children's books. Then we go to the library, and we come home with 40 more books. We all love to read in our house. The little ones are still learning, but once they pick it up, they're reading everything. They're curious and interested in so many different topics. The written word is powerful, isn't it? Can take us places, to new worlds, sparking imagination and ideas, teach us new things and prepare us for the future. Open our minds to the world around us. I love to read, but I get distracted. There's so much going on in our house and in our lives, and we have things to do and places to go, and television and movies and phones and games and all that stuff, that I rarely get to read as much as I really would like to. I've got a pile of books next to my bed, maybe you do too, that I've started but have woefully neglected. And I've got more on my wish list than I probably will ever get to, and new ones arriving in the stores every week. Pastor Matt can relate, I know. My work and my ministry involves plenty of reading during the week for scripture and articles and commentaries, but there's so much more that I'd like to do that I just don't get around to, and often I take that gift of reading for granted. And this tradition of the prophets, we hear from the prophet Jeremiah today, their tradition predates the written word, right? Prophets would go around speaking of God's law and promises to people and to the rulers of Israel. That was the way. Most people, with the exception of scribes and maybe some elites, didn't read or write. They heard the word. But in late 8th century, the word came from the mouth of the prophet Isaiah. Remember his vision? An angel touched his mouth with that hot coal, and he spoke the word of the Lord. Well, just about 200 years later, the word of the Lord came to another prophet named Jeremiah, another of the major prophets, who was called as a young boy and had a vision as well. The Lord touched his mouth to put the word in it. Now, he grew up in a time when more people were becoming literate, able to read the written word, and he prophesied when Josiah was king. It was King Josiah who found the book of the law and read it and made a covenant, a promise to follow the law and the commandments. We read that in 2 Kings chapter 23. King Jehoiakim was one of Josiah's sons, and not a very good one, I guess. He took the throne at age 25 and was king for about 11 years. He did what was evil in the sight of the Lord. What was the evil? Well, we can't really be sure. But following other gods, oppressing the people, going against the commandments of the Lord, these are good guesses. These are the kinds of things that the prophet speaks out against as he's called to proclaim what he hears. The word of the Lord tells of the destruction of Judah and Israel. And there's trouble coming from the north, and it's not the Assyrians this time, it's the Babylonians. How do you react when you read or hear something that troubles you? When it's bad news, like the report of a disaster, or new restrictions because of a virus, or results of an election, and maybe we like to deny it. Maybe we rebel against it, act like we didn't hear it, or say it can't be true. Sometimes you might get mad at the one who said it. Most of us don't like to be challenged when it comes to our closely held beliefs. Even reading the Bible can be hard for us. when it confuses us or convicts us of the way we've been living, reminds us of our faults as individuals, as leaders, as the church, or as a nation. And maybe we'd like to just tear those pages out and choose the good stuff. Let's read that, right? That's been tried before. Didn't change much. The word of the Lord that came to Jeremiah was of a coming tragedy, the fall of Israel and Judah. Not the kind of things most kings want to hear. They don't want to hear about transformation. They don't want to hear about their demise. They don't want to hear about anything that threatens their power. The prophet spoke this word to the religious leaders and to the king, and eventually was no longer allowed to come into the temple, where he told them it had become a den of robbers. Yeah, that was his line. But Jeremiah didn't give up. Instead of shouting prophecy from outside the walls of the temple, he would dictate it. Dictate the word to his assistant, Baruch, and have him write it down. Then it could be read in the presence of the king. So that's what happens. And the king, of course, doesn't want to hear this prophecy, this word of the Lord, spoken or written. So he rips it out and throws it into his little fireplace. But this is God's word. That cannot be the end of it. And Jeremiah hears what has happened, so he has his assistant, Baruch, write it down again. The word was true. Judah would fall, the people would be taken into exile in Babylon, and just as it was written, the temple would be destroyed eventually. We all want to hear good news. That's why we come to worship here. That's why we turn on our screens and listen in from our homes and our offices and our couches. We want to hear the good stuff because we're tired of the arguments and the frustration and the sickness and the isolation and the loss that we've witnessed and suffered this year. And burying our heads won't change the world we live in. Leaving one social media site for another doesn't alter our reality. But that's what we do, right? We compartmentalize our lives. We tear out those parts of our lives that we don't want to acknowledge or share. We pick and choose what we read and view and hear, and we create our personal echo chambers. Anything we don't like, just throw it into the fire. Well, we can burn it, or we can learn it. God's word remains. Along with our Jewish neighbors, our Muslim neighbors, Christians are people of the book. That scripture, that book, this word, when we open it, has the power to transform us from the inside out. We believe that. In Holy Scripture, when we read stories of creation and fall and ancient wisdom and inspired teaching for today, promises of hope and love for tomorrow, we feel it. This word, it's alive and moving and active, and it moves us. So we might be in a world of hurt, but when we read the word, it doesn't leave us there. We read the word that has been written down for us, and we hear it, and we are given new opportunities to act. It makes us believe, because we hear and are called to turn around, to trust in Christ alone, the true King of the universe. So in this time of trouble, Jeremiah, finally, in this book, offers a rare word of hope. He says, "The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. For I will forgive their iniquity and remember their sin no more." After their time in Babylon, in exile, away from the land, from their homes, they had suffered so much. But Jeremiah promises through this word from God that there would be a new beginning. That is a promise of grace and gift and goodness. It's undeserved and it's undeniable. This word, it's written on our hearts. So unless we can shut them off, which, yeah, we do that sometimes, this word continues to call us. To convict us, to remind us that trusting in God, living in the kingdom of the Lord, Loving, serving, giving, that is the way we are called to be. That's who we are. So as we wait for an end to our current struggles and prepare for what the future will bring, we are invited into this word again to hear it, to trust and imagine. Where will we be in a year? Will you pray about that with me this week and in the weeks to come, especially this week as we give thanks for all the blessings around us? Think about it. Dream about it. Write it down. How is God calling you to be here and now? What new opportunities will we find together as friends and family, as neighbors and as the church? This word is moving now. Jeremiah knew what Isaiah knew and what Jonah knew, that God could choose to save the people. Even when they would not hear, even when their own hearts were hardened, when their king shut his own ears to it, and when destruction was imminent, God would come through. And now there's no more if. The promise is unconditional. The Lord doesn't tell the people, do this or do that. God says, I will do it. I will make this promise. I will fulfill it. I will write it down on their hearts. And I will be their God. There would be pain, and there would be destruction, and still the promise would come true. The remnant would be this new seed for Israel. Those who returned would rebuild. And the people would worship God once again. The world would be renewed. Our world is still struggling every day. There are more problems here and around the globe than we can name. And still the faithful gather online, in homes, in small groups, and in churches too. They call on God's name. They pray and give thanks. That's bold. We may not know what is ahead, and we might not know what that next step is just yet. There will no doubt be obstacles to overcome, but we can know for sure because we have read it. It's been written down for us and passed on. From generation to generation, we've heard it sung and shouted. We have this word, a promise from Jesus. That is the new covenant of grace. It's on the cross. It's in his blood. We belong to him. We are forgiven. We are children of Christ the King, loved and forgiven and freed. And now God in Christ calls us to a new way, to live in this freedom that we have been given, to share what we have, to serve those in need, to speak good news, and to walk together, to work toward justice in our world, in hope and faith always. Amen.